Blog Talk Radio. In your name, God, I'm lifting up all of our children, those that listen, those that don't. I ask you, God, to guide and lead our young people, that they will follow of you, God, that the world will not and cannot have them, Lord. And we are continuously praying over this word. In Jesus' name, Lord, again, increase as we decrease. Forgive us for all sins, thought, seen, and unseen. In your son's name we pray that we take this word to heart with clean hearts, clean minds, and clean spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, this is the day, Lord. We thank you. And we are in Genesis chapter 5 for those that have joined us this morning. We are in Genesis chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 22. If you want to put a pin in the second Psalm, verses 7 through 12, and Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. And our New Testament word is Matthew chapter 3. And it is Matthew and Jesus being baptized. And our title for this morning, for those that need one, is Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that is coming out of Matthew chapter 3. And the word of God came in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, that book of grace. Oh, Lord, but we see what happens. It's full of evil, full of stuff. Mankind had lost its mind. And it says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. Jared lived 160 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, he did not die. He did not die. He was taken up by God because he was a good man, and God loved him. So he did not die. He was taken up by God. And the book of Enoch is a book that they did not put into the word of God because it talks about some stuff that they're afraid that people read it, they get all scared. Like we don't read the word of God, and there's some things in there that we are like, whoa, that's pretty interesting. And we'll be coming to some of that today. But they felt that the book of Enoch would just terrify us. You know, if you get opportunity, it's out there on the web where you can just listen to it. And I'm going to tell you, it's got some stuff in it that's pretty interesting. And some stuff that we need to know and understand that when we read the Word of God, you can always look at it and say, huh, that is interesting. And does it mean this or does it mean that? We don't know. Only God does, but he will give us discernment. All we have to do is ask. So Enoch did not die. He what? At the age of 365 years, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him at 365 years old. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. He was the longest living person on earth. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 585 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 767 years. And he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 6. Now, that was the genealogy of Noah. That was the genealogy of Adam to Noah. And now, as we get into chapter 6, we're going to understand when God says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These people at that time were living any kind of life, and there were some things on this earth that it's like, whoa, wait a minute. And then if you watch National Geographic or you watch the History Channel or you watch the unbelievable things on this planet, that the word of God is true. You know, scientists always want to say, well, the Big Bang and all of this. Understand, everything that's in this Bible, every time they go and do an archaeological dig, they find something that was already in the Bible. They find a skeleton that is in the Bible. Everything that we have read in this word is true. Don't get it twisted. Don't let anybody tell you that it's fantasy, that it's just a fantasy book. No, it is a reality book. It is a history book. It is his story, and it is true. And like I said, watch different things, and you will find that the word of God every day, they're starting to find out, oh my, this stuff is true. Yes, it is. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Don't let anybody tell you that the Bible is a fantasy book. It is the best-selling book that's ever hit the shelves, and it sells out on a regular basis. Don't let anybody twist your mind. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe this word. Tells us this in chapter 6 and why repentance is important. Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And you talk about, you know, in Greek history, they're always talking about demigods and all of this stuff. This is where they get that stuff from the word of God. The sons of God having relations with the daughters of men created demigods. And that's where that stuff comes from. We don't believe in any God but the one God and his son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit. God destroyed these things. Don't get it twisted. A whole lot of mythology comes from reality. Look in the book. You will find it. And then it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I may have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's what it says. He got three sons. It didn't say he got a whole bunch of kids before the flood. It said he had three sons. And as we go back into this word of God, it talks about that there were giants on this planet. Yes, they have found skulls of giants and freaked out, but it's there and it's real and it's true. We cannot disregard this book. This is real. This is real. And I'm saying it because I've heard too many times folks want to call it, oh, it's just a fantasy book. Take your atheist self and keep it moving. You know, I don't mind going to hell, Ronald Reagan Jr. Well, you know what? If that is your destination, then you keep on moving. But I'm going to stay in the book. I'm going to believe in the Most High God because I know that his word is true. It's coming out every day. Something new is being found to bring credence to this word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path to more knowledge and wisdom. All you got to do is ask for it. Lord, show me. Show me what I need to know when I study your word. Now, Noah had what? Not 5 billion sons in the beginning of before the flood. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Our ancestors, we are descendants of one of those. And we are all descendants of Noah and his wife. We are family, and we need to stop all the foolishness of bigotry and racism. Because whatever it is, we're all the same underneath, and our DNA is going to prove that we are related. We are all related, and we need to stop the foolishness. And when you go back from Noah, we are all the descendants of Adam and Eve. We got to stop it. And it says the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Does it sound familiar? So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Every day. Somebody getting killed, some war starting, somebody wanting to be better than others, somebody wanting to lie and cheat their way into power. All of the same foolishness that was going on back then is going on now. That's why we believe that the Savior is coming back sooner than later. But the Word of God tells us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These people were needed to repent. God came to the earth. God walked with Noah. God walked with Enoch. God took Enoch. And it tells us, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. Again, God gives instruction. He gave Noah instruction, just like he gave David instruction to build the temple and gave Solomon the wherewithal to get it done. Every time God has a plan, he tells you what to do. He told Moses how to make the Ark of the Covenant and what to put in it. He brought those stones up, and by the hand of God, the Ten Commandments were written. We better understand everything God does, he does it decently and in order. Everything God does, he gives you complete and total instruction. And it says this, the link of the ark, he told him what to do. He says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. So he told him the kind of wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch, making it waterproof. The length of the ark, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 80 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the bird after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come. Nope. Did Noah go out and find those animals? No, he did not, because this is what the word of God says. Want to make sure we get that in our spirit. It says two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. Two of every kind will come to you. Noah just had to open the door, and the animals that were supposed to be on the ark came to Noah. They will come to you. He didn't go out looking for two of each thing. He didn't go out trying to catch a lion. He didn't go out to try to get the elephant and the giraffe. He didn't go out to get anything. They came to him. And then it says, and you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he didn't say, but Lord, how am I going to make this ark? Lord, how can I do that? Lord, they going to laugh at me making this big old boat. It don't rain. Why should I, you know? No, he did not ask a question. He just went to work. And that's what we have to do. We can't ask any questions. When God says go, we go. When God says do, we do. That's what we have to do. And it says in Genesis 6:6, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Our sin distresses the Creator who made us because it stands against his very nature. God will always judge sin. He cannot merely ignore it. God can't ignore sin. He judges us according to what we do. And we got to do what's right in the sight of God, because he loves us and he doesn't want to destroy us. He doesn't. He didn't want to destroy them, but he had no choice because it was awful. It was rampant. It was out of control. And we don't want that to happen to us. Repentance is important. Repent. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Noah's obedient and dry. I like that. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Noah was obedient and dry. And it says this, nothing indicated an approaching storm. Still, since Noah believed God, he prepared for the downpour God promised. His friends must have mocked him, but he built an ark. Obedience is the cornerstone to our faith in God. While Noah's obedience led to God's blessing and reward, the disobedience of his contemporaries led to their destruction. At the time of the flood, the physical salvation of mankind failed to Noah and its willingness to be used by God. The ark merely foreshadowed the eternal salvation from sin that is ours through Jesus Christ. Just as Noah's faith saved him and his family, so our faith saves us today. As we are told in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I got to read that again. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Building the ark did not bring Noah any closer to the Lord, but his obedience and faith in God did, and it kept him safe and dry. Come on now. In chapter 6, verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Noah displayed his righteous character by doing exactly as God had commanded him, even though building the ark must have seemed ridiculous to his neighbors, and his obedience saved his life. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We better understand that God saved Noah and his family because of Noah's obedience. Noah's wife didn't say, why are you doing that? Or like Lot's wife turned around to see what was going on and turned to stone. I'm sorry, turned to a pillar of salt. You know, didn't do that. She, hey, whatever they had to do, wife was right there. These wives and these husbands, they got to work. Because the father, the patriarch of that family, Noah, said, we got to build an ark. And I'm sure their friends, their relatives, and all the folks was talking about them and laughing at them, calling them crazy because, you know, rain was not one of them things. Didn't need a boat. But look at God. Who got saved and who died? Everybody. Everything. But Noah and his family and the animals that God called. Come on now. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. What a word. All I say again, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen. Amen and amen again. Good morning, people of God. I'm coming out of Psalms 2, 7 and 12. I will declare the decree. Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O king. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Just like Noah, he put his trust in the Lord. I mean, people laughed at him. You building an ark and it don't rain. It's just not going to rain. Noah didn't pay any attention to the people. He was obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He obeyed God. All the people of the earth died. Noah, his three sons, and the wives are the only people that lived. It was eight people that went into that ark. The ark was made of gopher wood. God told Noah what to do, and he listened. He said, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. He put his trust in God, and he lived. A lot of times God tell you to go right, you go left, and you go left, and you have an accident. You have to know that you know that you know when you hear the voice of God. It said, blessed are all those who put their trust in God. And thank God that Noah did, because the world was started again. Again, he started the world with eight people. God is good all the time. And during the time that world was like Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody was doing wrong, but eight people, oh my gosh, on the whole face of the earth, everybody and everything was destroyed except what went into that ark with Noah. Eight people, the animals, two of a kind, this animal, that animal. My gosh. It's a bad thing to come into the hand of an angry God. It just is. God is going to judge, and he's not going to put up with the foolishness. Proverbs 1:10-19. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us work secretly for the innocent without cause. I mean, even right now, people are being killed for no reason. You know, they're shedding blood for no reason. And then they turn around and say, like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Devil can't make you do anything. He can't. We read that back in Revelation. Devil can't make you do anything. He can entice you. He can tempt you. He can whisper in your ear, but he cannot make you do anything. God don't really make you do anything. He draw you with loving kindness. He said, come, have arms wide open, but he don't make you do anything either. He gives you choice. He makes a quality choice. I choose to do this. I choose to do that. He gives you a choice. He don't make you do anything. God just don't make us do stuff. Let us swallow them alive like Shiloh and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions that fill our house with spoil. Casting your lot among us. Let us all, that one verse, my son, do not walk in the ways of them. Keep your foot from their path. Their feet run to evil. They make haste. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. Things that you desire to do to people, it's going to usually happen to you. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain, takes away the life of his owner. Do not lie in wait to shed blood. A lot of times when a person is robbing a bank, grocery store, or whatever, a lot of times they get killed. I mean, you go to shed blood and to steal, rob, and kill, and a lot of times you're the one that gets killed. Matthew 3:17. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the title. Repent, 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 repent. John the Baptist was eating locusts and in Jordan River, and he was saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John spoke of Jesus way in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, it happened. He was born of a virgin, Mary. Mary was the mother. So repent. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan went out to him, were baptized by him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who cometh after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be done so now, for thus it is written for us to fulfill all righteousness. And therefore he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Son. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a baptism that was.
Yes.
Jesus was baptized by John, and it means that everybody likewise have to be baptized. Repent. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God don't want you to be sprinkled. Just take a little bottle and sprinkle yourself with water. He don't want you to be sprinkled. He wants you to be dipped all the way immersed in water. And that's what Pastor Jesse do. You take him up there to Life Church and she, take him down. I've seen her take 15 people down at one time. You know, that's a lot. And I told her, what if she had to take 3,000 people and baptize them? And she just smiled. God will give you the strength to do the things that you need to do.
Yes, he will.
That's all there is to it. He will strengthen you. If it's 6,000, 3,000 people, 6,000 people, you'd be surprised at how strong you will get. You'll be able to do it. Life lessons, Matthew 3:8. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Genuine repentance leads not only to a change in attitude, but also to a change in behavior. Merely feeling sorry for some wrong action does not constitute repentance. When God really changes a person and you turn around and you repent, there's a change in your character. It might come all of a sudden, or it comes gradually. You don't do the same things. You don't go out to gamble. You don't go to Vegas to gamble. You don't start drinking. You stop drinking liquor. You're not an alcoholic. You're not a whore. You just don't continue to do the same thing. You just don't. Mary Magdalene had 7 devils taken out of her, and she didn't continue to do the same things that she had been doing. She followed Jesus. And God said to the lady, go and sin no more. Well, that's what you have to do. The body wants to continue to sin, but the spirit don't. And you are in control of this body. You're going to be tempted by the devil, but you are in control of the body. You don't have to do wrong. I choose to do good. You can choose to get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and spend time with God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible show. You can choose to go back to bed. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. It's your body. You can choose to do the right thing. You don't have to kill. You don't have to steal. You really don't. You don't have to be jealous of another person. You really and truly don't. You can choose to do the right thing. It's what's up to you. You're going to hear 2 voices. Do the wrong thing or do the right thing. You can make the choice. You can. Matthew 3:15. permitted to be so now for dusting the city, but us to fulfill all righteousness. While he walked this earth, Jesus submitted himself to the law and to doing the whole will of his Father, because he completely fulfilled the law. Believers also have fulfilled the law through him. Matthew 3:17, voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father loved Jesus the Son and publicly stated his pleasure in Christ's righteousness manner of living. Yet it also pleased God to send his son to the cross on our behalf. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Title, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the people say, well, where's the kingdom of heaven? He said, repent. And you Christians always talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we don't see nothing. I mean, y'all are living in a fairy land. It's just a tale. Repent the king. Well, just like in Noah's day, Noah was saying that it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And they kept on saying, that man is crazy.
Laughing at him.
And laughing at him and talking about him. And he kept on building. He said, it's going to rain. Noah, you are crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy.
Repent. I'm sure he was saying, repent. I'm sure he was screaming it to the top of his lung. Pray, repent. God wants us to repent from our sins, to do right. We make choices. That's the one thing that God gave mankind. He gave us a free will. We have the free will to do right, and we have the free will to do wrong. The choice is yours, but the consequences for your choices. That's just like you out there, young ladies, having unprotected sex. The consequences are either pregnancy or disease. It is what it is. That's why God said that things should be done in marriage. Those things should be done in marriage. You know, I'm not putting anybody down. All I'm saying is God has placed order for everything. And I know that some of us, including myself, have been out of order in many things in our life. You know, have got the clutter spirit. We got to ask God, Lord, help me get rid of and declutter. Because God wants us to have our things in order. You know, you can't find anything because you got too much clutter. Can't do what you got to do because you got too much clutter. Clutter minds. Our minds get cluttered with everything going on to the point where you can break down and not be able to accomplish anything because your mind is all over the place. That's why God wants us to study and read his word to get focused. God wants us focused, and he wants us to repent. You know, I have a word for this morning because Noah worked the work he was called to do, which was to build that ark, and God sent the animals to him. He didn't have to go out hunting. He didn't have to go out looking. They came on their own, and I'm sure that was probably freaking some people out, mother. You think about it. You sitting here just giggling. Look at Noah with his crazy self over there building a boat. Look at that big old boat. You know it took them a whole bunch of years to do. Yeah, I've been watching them for at least 100. They've been trying to build that boat. And then all of a sudden, you look up and two lions are walking down the road. You look up.
Amen.
And there's an elephant and a giraffe. And a hippopotamus, things that normally are in the water, are coming out of the water. Oh, you look up, and there are certain birds flying into the ark. And you look up, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute now. Isn't that a snake? And you see the snake going into the ark. And you're seeing, you know, a fox. You're seeing the wolves. You're seeing every kind of animal. And some animals you've never seen in your life are walking into this ark. And you're like, what is that? I don't know. I've never seen a flatfoot. What is it? A duck-billed platypus? I've never seen that. What is that? Is it a duck? What is that? I don't know. Is it a duck or I don't know. Is it a beaver? Is it a duck? What? I don't know what that is. But you see it walking into this ark, and you're like, oh, my, what in the world is going on here? And then you start really looking, and you're like, wait a minute now. These animals are going into that boat with Noah? What's he going to do with all them animals? And where are they coming from? That would kind of freak you out, kind of scare you a little bit, but you still don't want to repent because it's a party over here. Okay, come on, y'all. We're going over to cousin's house. He got a party going on. Let's go down to Boo Boo Nims. Yeah, they got some things going on. We're going down there. You know, understanding, not understanding, that the time is at hand. And you're seeing all these crazy-looking animals, different kinds of animals, two by two, going into the ark. That big old boat that Noah built. And you wondering what's going on. Then you know, Mother, I was thinking about it as you were reading. Now, understand that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, doesn't it say that? But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. He said, for I say to you that God is able to rise up children to Abraham from these stones. Now, he told them. So understand, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were at the baptisms, right, Mother? So you going to tell me that when they saw Jesus coming and John and him going back and forth on who should baptize who, and Jesus telling John, you got to baptize me, and John baptizing Jesus, and then you see this dove come from heaven and light on his shoulder, and you're saying, and then you hear a big voice, because you know the voice was for everybody that was there at the baptism. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew exactly who he was. There was no getting around it. You can't play and say, well, I don't know, because there was a voice that came after his baptism, which some of y'all saw. And it said he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Pharisees and the Sadducees heard it. They saw it. They know who he was. They knew who he was. And you're not going to tell me they didn't run to the temple to tell Caiaphas and tell the priest that there's the Son of God had come. You're not going to tell me they didn't do it, because they did. And I know they did. I felt they did. But yet, they're going to keep it a secret, just like they told the guards to lie, because it would affect their money. It would affect their power. It would have affected what they did. And they didn't want anybody to know who this man was. And it's the same kind of stuff that goes on now. Folks lying and cheating, covering up. But understand, everything done in the dark eventually comes in the light. It always does. And it's going to bring down some folks. Watch and see, Mother. Time is coming where God's getting ready to start revealing a whole lot of the false prophets. God is getting ready to pull them sheets off. God's getting ready to reveal who, what, where, and when. Powerful people are about to get some reality checks because it's coming. Watch and see. But this is what our word says for this morning from our 365 days of prayer. Work that manners. Noah did work that manners. John the Baptist did work that manners. Jesus did work that manners. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Good Father, you are the author and sustainer of my faith. Help me to keep you at the forefront of my mind when I could so easily get frustrated by tasks that go unseen or overlooked or are taken for granted by those around me. When I feel the temptation to throw up my hands and say, what's the use? What is this for? Help me to remember that even if no one else sees the value of what I'm doing, you see it. I so often get caught up in the never-ending to-do list on the hamster wheel of time. When it comes to work, it all matters to you, not because that's where I find my worth, but because you see it all and give it value. Nothing is overlooked by you. May I keep a humble heart that is connected to your love in every moment. Let every act I do be as a fragrant offering of worship to you. And that is a question with it. What is your reason for doing all your tasks? Noah's reason was because God told him to. Many of our reasons for Mother Valerie normally would be sleeping right now, but she gets up early in the morning to come and read with us, to come and teach. She is 80, but God knows she looks a whole lot younger. Thank you, Jesus. And acts a whole lot younger too. Praise the Lord. We are grateful, but she knows what God has called her to do. Because it's her love. She loves to read the word of God. That's a task that she's been given, and she heartily gets up in the morning to do it. God knows everything that we do. My love is for my seniors. I love working with senior citizens. And God has put it in my heart to do it. It's not my job. Somebody says, you don't act like this is a job. I said, because it's not. It's my calling because I love it. I love what I do. And I'm laughing this morning because God woke me up at 3 this morning. And he also woke up Sister Carolyn around 3 this morning. And the word that he gave her early in the morning, again, is sometimes you get knocked down more than you ever been just to stand taller than you ever were. Have a walk with God Wednesday. And, you know, every time I know that it came from God. Because today in our lesson, Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. We know that John the Baptist walked with the Savior. When we get knocked down, you know Noah was probably talked about, vilified, called everything but a child of God. You know John the Baptist was ridiculed because he didn't eat meat. He ate bugs. He dressed with camel skin. You know he probably looked a hot mess with them dreadlocks. You know, and they looking at him like he crazy because he was a Nazarene, so he didn't cut his hair. So he had them long dreadlocks hanging down his back. And I'm sure they was talking about him like a dog. Get out there, getting in the water. Yeah, let not. Putting people in, thinking he know what he's talking about repent. That he can't tell me what to do. Knocked down, vilified, not understanding. Sometimes we all get talked about. Sometimes we all get knocked down lower than you ever been in your life. But just know that we stand taller than we ever were because we walk with God. Sometimes you get knocked down lower than you ever been just to stand taller than you ever were. Have a walk with God Wednesday family. Sister Carolyn, I thank you for your word today. My sister in Christ knows she got it going on. God uses her in a mighty, mighty way. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for my friend, for my sister in Christ. She's a wonderful person. And God gives her, wakes her up just like he does me early in the morning sometimes. You never know when God's going to wake you up with a word. And he woke her up at 3-something this morning. Just like he woke me up this morning. All I heard is, my clock went off. And all I heard was, I will worship you. And I was like, wow. Okay. Yes, Lord. I worship you. I woke up and I set up, you know, I choose to worship you. And that's all I could, it was like a testimony from my sleep. I choose to worship you. We got to choose to worship God. We got to choose to be in his presence. We got to choose to get up and listen and read his word. It's a choice. Mother and I make this choice because we love God. And we love his people. So I thank God for you, Mother Valerie. And I thank God for his holy word. What a mighty God we serve. And that is all I have, Mother. Do you have anything extra to go with today's word? And if there is anyone that's listening this morning that God is giving you a word, just unmute your phone and give whatever it is that God is giving you.
Amen. Amen and amen again. Obey God and live.
Amen.
Nora obeyed God and he was dry. He lived. And a lot of times people don't obey God. I think about, you know, when they don't obey God, they don't live sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God gives you another chance. And, you know, just like the man in the well, the belly of the well, God gave him a second chance, and he lived. The whale spit him out, but he didn't want to obey God. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go preach to the people in Nineveh. He didn't want to do that. But then when he did, God blessed him. You have to obey God. I mean, God is the ruler of the heavens and the earth. God rules. He rules. He made you. You didn't make yourself.
That's right.
When you get up and brush your teeth and look at yourself, you are in the image of Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
God made you. No such thing as a Big Bang theory. No such thing. And anyway, who made the Big Bang? If there was such a thing as a Big Bang theory, it's God. It's so hard to see people not willing to, you know, to accept God, being an atheist. It's just thinking that God is not real.
Mm.
They keep on saying, well, where is this Jesus? Where is this God you've been talking about? That he's coming. He's coming. And I'm sure in the day of Noah, it was the same thing. Where is this flood you've been talking about? You've been talking and talking and talking. Noah, you're crazy. You got your sons and your three daughter-in-laws, and they're crazy. Your whole family's crazy. You've been talking about a flood for years. You know, they take the hand, what we do now, take the hand and do like this toward the ear and point at the person. You're crazy. Something is wrong. You got Alzheimer's disease. You're crazy. Nothing is going to happen. They didn't believe it because it took so long. And that's what we're thinking today. Jesus, when are you going to return? When will you return? When, Lord, when? Well, there are signs of his returning. Look at what's going on in Jerusalem. The signs of his return is here.
Yes.
Wars and rumors of war. Mm. Didn't he speak about wars and rumors of war? Didn't he speak about people in your own household will turn against you, mother against daughter? The things that they spoke of in the Bible right now, we're living it.
Yes,
it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. Women are going with women. Coming to pass. Men are going with men. Look what happened up there in the White House. Two men were caught having sex. And did they go to jail? No. Jail. Everything that's going on in the Bible is happening. It's happening again and again. And God will judge. He will judge his people. He said he's going to do it, and he will do it. If he said it, it's going to come to pass. He'll do it again and again and again. America will be judged because we're acting like and it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
He's going to judge people.
Yeah.
If he said it, it's going to have to happen. And people are just killing people just like they did in the Bible days. There's nothing new on the face of the earth. Nothing new. People killed people back in the Bible days. They're chopping off people's heads. In this day, crucifixion. I don't know if anybody's been crucified in this day. Oh, yeah, they have been crucified in this day. Nailed to the tree in the south. They were hung on the tree.
Yes.
You know, there's so much going on. That we have to pray and invoke our angels. God.
Yes. We have about 10 seconds to go, and I have to go to work this morning. So excuse me for interrupting you, Mother, but let's pray out. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. I have to go to work, so I'm going to